It's amazing as I come before you this morning, and it's good. Pastors, they set these titles up ahead of time, so you got to set your title up ahead of time and check it out. You are known, inside and out. When I started to do this research, a lot of it comes from the Daily Bread. I've loved the Daily Bread since I've been 13 years old. They're back on the back. Part of the reason why I came to this church, when I came in and saw the Daily Bread, I was very excited. The reason why I stayed at this church is because somebody asked me to be baptized. So the Word of God came alive, and I said, the next church that asked me to be baptized has got to put up with me. Probably till I go home, but the Lord might change that a little bit. So, but I really want to ask for forgiveness. A lot of times when you dig into the Word, and I look over the years and even the things that we're going through in our lives, I think I've really been, I got a pretty good nickname at work, and I told the guys at work to do that. I've been called the Bible Thumper. And I told a couple people, you can put that on my tombstone. I would have no trouble with that at all. But at the same time, the Bible Thumper can actually get to the point where it doesn't show love. And Jesus has always shown love. There's always a compassion. So you never want that to be mixed up with that. But it's so important to realize, as Bill has just talked about it, we got a new pastor coming. And we're letting the Lord lead that. But at the same time, as I'm an elder up here asking for forgiveness and talking to you guys, is we got to stop putting people so high up. The Lord talks to Bonnie just as much as he talks to me. He talks to you. Everything I do lately matches what's up here in front. Come, Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. I guess why I'm asking for a little bit of forgiveness this morning is when I looked at my kids, I always gave them the Word of God, but I don't think I showed them that I followed the Spirit. And when your life gets turned upside down, man, you need to follow the Spirit. And you need to let it talk to you. Now, usually we try to get a joke going so you lighten up the thing. I got to follow Brian, and I got to follow Eddie Lord. Neither of them men ever got married. Okay, we got one laugh out of that, but those two guys have blessed me for a long time. Brian, I just thoroughly enjoy how Brian talks and loves to teach the Word of God. Eddie, I just love how he gets along with God and talks to him. And then I stop and think, I searched the Word of God, but did I stop and listen to God? In the past couple years, I've listened to him. And I've went and done those things, and those have been the blessings in my life, even through tough times, hard times. Some ways I can't believe I'm still an elder, but I feel like I try to tell the leaders to do something. Oh, if I got to do this, even if I was teaching youth group or I was doing everything, I wanted them elders and I wanted everybody to back what I was thinking. I wanted them to just give me 100%. And then I realized, you know what, we're two different people. And they ain't never going to say what you say. If you trust in Jeff Pass, you're going to be let down. If you trust in yourself, you're going to be let down. But if you trust in Christ, and we figure out, let that Spirit lead us, we're going to see a change. And I found out today, as I studied for this, you are known inside and out. You're going to have a tough time with it, just like me. Let's shoot for it. I'm going to go for the hardest one first. I'm going to read a couple things. Knowing you inside and out. Zephaniah. Woo! I got it. Sorry about that. I figured I was going to bomb that. And it's in 3:17. I'm just going to read some of these things, knowing you inside and out. Keep focused on that because I'm going to go over a couple real quickly. I wanted to read the whole thing because it tells you about the daughter of Jerusalem, the daughter of Israel. You know what? You guys, we are the daughter. Because there's going to be a feast up in heaven when we get there, and we're going to be the bride. Don't ever forget that. But in here, it's interesting. I'm going to read 17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. Thank you for singing that today, Mike. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. My Lord sings over me. He sings over you. I wrote down Psalms 139:13. A lot of people know those. It's just beautiful. For you created my inmost being. You kneaded me together in my mother's womb. Ecclesiastes 11:5. How the body is formed in the mother's womb. It's God asking us, do you know how that's done? It is so beautiful. The little guys, kids are such a precious thing. And he says, the maker of all things. Then Luke 16:15. God knows your heart. You know, the next time I decide to go bug somebody, I'm going to hit my knees. I'm going to hit my knees and ask God to take care of it. The thing about that is if I ask God to take care of it, and he takes care of it, look at the trust I just got. Because I didn't have to go say to the leaders, oh, you need to do it this way. We got to have it this way. No. God did it. He changed it. He knows our hearts. Psalms 53:2. God looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand and any who seek God. It's good to be around a church, be around men, women that want to seek God. Something about it. Then John 1:48. You just think, if you're praying with him, you're underneath that tree. It's Jesus told Nathan. It's not Nathan. It's a little bit longer. Nathaniel, right? Jesus told Nathaniel, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called on you. And even Jesus told him, here is a true Israelite. In whom there is nothing fault. And Nathan just cried out, you are the Messiah. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And Jesus even questioned that. It's amazing how Jesus questioned, you believe that just because I saw you under the tree? Well, that's pretty impressive. The Daily Bread used this example of good parents. We know our children. Sometimes we know how they're going to respond. Sometimes we still need to let them respond. Just like I should be responding to God. There's enjoyments. There are enjoyments. Countless interests, desires, preferences. Isn't it nice to just know what even your daughter likes and go do it? Maybe just set it there and just not even say a word. Maybe put it on the dresser. Don't even say a word and just leave it there. Boy, that just touches somebody's heart. And that's what God and the Holy Spirit wants to do with you. That's why it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Son had to go for the Holy Spirit to come down and live within each one of us. And now we need to find that unity and touch other people's lives. But for all that, I'll never know them perfectly. We got some things going on. That's a statement that's hard inside and out. The way our Lord knows us. The way the Lord knows us. Jesus knows each one of us. Like this intimately. Completely and perfectly. the way we long to be known. When you get in the Holy Spirit, you start feeling that He longs for you. Oh, I just do. This is Jeff Pass. I like how Bill said it, Michael Jeffrey Pass. Some people didn't know that. Jesus accepts us completely. He's seen everything. Invites us to be not only His followers, but His beloved friends and children. The Lord sees everything. Good Lord, we know Satan sees everything. He's like, hey Jeff, how can you stand in front of the church? You did this. Them accusations all the time, isn't it? Our doubt. It gets in our way. I need to go back. I need that filling. I need to get with God and trust God to handle it. There's things in our lives there's no way we can control. You know the best thing out of the whole thing? He still longs for us to seek Him. That scripture says, draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. Challenge it. Go get alone. Talk with Him. Tell Him everything. All comes to the living Word and living by the Spirit. How does it make you feel that you're fully known inside and out by Jesus? Well, sin-wise, I don't know, Lord. But you know what? We sang some songs today. To say that I could be white as snow, when you get there is something beautiful that you can't explain. If you haven't accepted Christ and let that been washed away from you, I challenge you to do it today. And to fall in love with Him. I mean, the world will think it's all about rules. But you know what? Every sin I've ever fallen into has become, I've become its slave. But becoming a slave to the Spirit, the Son, and the Father is the most freeing thing I've ever felt in my life. Ever. Hard one to explain. Not sharing Jesus. I say, wow again. All my issues. I put down, really, does He? Does He really have time to understand that Jeff's going through some tough times? There's so many other big fish in the fry. I don't know where that came from, but so many other things in life like that. But He does. He knows even when a sparrow drops. Pastor Todd always talked about He knows the numbers of hair on your head. So we always joke about that. So when I stand up here and I ask for forgiveness, even as long as I've loved the Lord and as long as I've studied the Word, He still, until we get there, we still got to keep seeking Him. We still got to keep falling in love with Him. So as I try to go deeper in the Spirit, there's one thing that keeps coming up over and over again, and I really can't, if I was to confess two things, if I didn't walk in the Spirit or let them see me walk in the Spirit, then it's praying. Everything comes back to prayer. And I'm always going to stand on that prayer, living by the Spirit, reading His Word, and then sharing His Word. If we do those four things, there will be peace. Even in the storms. So, right now, I can't do it any better. I've asked Steve to do something. I've watched this thing over and over again. It's a movie called War Room. And we're going to watch. I just can't explain it better than this. If Steve, you're ready.
Thank you. You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful. And you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Praise you, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who you want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that hate to be lukewarm and will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle that we may proclaim you King of kings and Lord of lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up.
I've watched that many times this week, and I go back to it. I think I'm going to stick out one. Raise up warriors who will fight on their knees. You are good. You are mighty. You are merciful. In this scene, she just got done, because we're going to play one other scene. She was going to sell her house, and during this time, she worked with the lady, the realtor. And you know, as I keep searching the Old Testament and everything else, I look at David. When he was used mighty by God, he was really nothing. He was a shepherd. Daniel and his three compadres were nothing. They were slaves. They brought the power of God out. Realize that we need to get close to God. In this one, I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine powers to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretensions that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." That's not the easiest thing to do in our lives. When we go out in the world, the question I wrote down, am I the same person at work as I am with you here at church. I'm sure you guys would like to be a little bird or a little, I guess a mosquito could fly everywhere or something. Like, well, is that past the same? They're good questions to ask. Because guess what? Guess who's asked me that question? When I get still, be still and know that He is God. He asked that question. And then I look at everybody in the Old Testament and He uses people that weren't in spots. It's amazing. And they weren't perfect people. We get called hypocrites and everything else, but if they read the Bible, they'll realize they weren't all that perfect. They just they seeked after the Lord with all their heart, soul, and will. A couple things that have been on our minds as elders is discipleship. How do we get everybody discipleship? How do we get to see people come to the Lord? Somebody get born again right now and just praise God. You know they're going to go through a tough time right after that. The battle is on. And as the Word of God says, I could read the next one. We do not fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against principality and darknesses. The song of the redeemed off the African plain. He was an African missionary, the guy that wrote that song. His parents, well, he wasn't an African missionary. His parents were African missionaries. He got to see things, but when them people came to the Lord, they're on fire. This next one about discipleship is sometimes just saying that we make it harder than it is. You don't have to change anything. This is going to be the scene where she meets the realtor. And she's already been praying. And then it says to go into your secret room. If you look, there's a strategy going on. There's notes on the wall. I'm going to get strategies. And she prays. She hears from God. We all can hear from God. Why don't you go ahead and play this one, Steve?
I appreciate you coming this morning. Coffee will be ready in a couple of minutes.
Oh, sounds good. Mm-hmm. Now, I ran a sales report from the area. Wrote down a suggested asking price for the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Now, what did you say your husband did for a living?
Well, we actually haven't talked about that, but he's a sales rep for Brightwell Pharmaceuticals.
And where did you say you attended church?
Well, we occasionally attend Riverdale Community.
Mm-hmm. So you would say you know the Lord?
Yes, I would say I know the Lord. You think the Lord is okay with this asking price?
Mm-hmm. And you have children?
Miss Clara, my husband Tony and I have been married for 16 years. We have one daughter, her name is Danielle, and she's 10. She enjoys pop music and ice cream and jumping rope.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. Now, you say you attend church occasionally. Is that because your pastor only preaches occasionally?
Miss Clara, I really would like to help you sell your house. That's why I'm here. As far as my faith is concerned, I believe in God just like most people. He's very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get our coffee.
So if I asked you what your prayer life was like, would you say that it was hot or cold?
I don't know that I would say it's hot. I mean, we're like most people. We have full schedules. We work. But I would consider myself a spiritual person. I'm not hot, but I'm not cold either. Just, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Here you go. I've got cream or sugar if you need
it. Oh, no, thank you. I like it black. Miss Clara, you like your coffee room temperature?
No, baby, mine's hot.
That is, I couldn't preach that any better than that. I know I'm not usually a very video oriented, but Steve, thank you for doing that so much. The soundproof guys and everything they've done with two weddings in the last 2 weeks, everybody that's helped out is just amazing how they've done things like that. So we thank the sound booth guys, but we are all called a disciple. But sometimes we make it so hard. Well, I don't know the word of God. I don't know how I'd share. But you know what? She just asks questions. There's another scene where she gets off. She says, no, Lord, I know I got a big mouth, but Lord, just can bring them to us. What do you want me to say? Man, open up the prayer doors. Open up the prayer doors. We got to change things. Eddie talked last week about where the tabernacle got taken, went somewhere, and the tumors were growing. That hits home with us. Hard. There is, every time I turn around, there's another person. There's tumors growing everywhere, as people. But it's not for the sickness. It's for heaven. It's for the love. I haven't ran into one person I gotta tell what they're doing wrong. Not one. They know. The God I serve puts it in their heart. They know it. You ain't gotta bring it up too many times. It's just, the worst thing is I had to write down lukewarm. And I'm your elder. Woo-hoo. You can understand where there's sometimes we get into situations that we would step right away. My kids are older now. Some of them didn't walk with God. So if anyone in the congregation, I've told the elders this, if anybody came up and said, Jeff, why are you handling the household of God? Your kids aren't walking the right way. I'd have no trouble saying you're right. And I would walk away. No trouble at all. But at the same time, I have brothers. And I have Jesus and sisters that tell me no. He's a forgiving God. He loves us. And he does, man. I'm amazed that he saved a wrench like me. I look back and I'm like, where would I be if he didn't save me? It'd be a crazy world. I wrote down, she's not an elder. She isn't a pastor. And the whole movie, she ain't even at church. And not only did she talk to that lady, and that lady started to pray, because she wanted to end her marriage. Her husband was about to have an affair. If you get a chance to watch this movie, it's War Room. I praise God that movies do get made like this. I think it's the Kendricks brothers out of Georgia and stuff. These guys are powerful. But he hit the one on the nail. He hit the hammer on the nail. This is something. There was a time the room upstairs was full all the way around in the library. There was chairs all the way around. Art would be there. George would be there. That room was, if we got to get prayer off Wednesday night, then we'll get prayer off Wednesday night because everybody's so busy. What's going to change us right now is the power of prayer. Now, in your notes, it says on our thing about being known is Daniel. And I have to give a little highlight like this about this is King Nebuchadnezzar got talked into building a 90-foot high and a 90-foot wide golden image. And he said, when the music plays, everybody will bow to it. Now, it's interesting, Daniel was left out of this one, but a chapter before, remember, Daniel was the only one that interpreted his dream. He not only told King Nebuchadnezzar what the dream was, he told him what the whole dream was about. His name was Belshazzar. Give myself another credit. You got a name right. You guys have to understand. It's even a funny time at the elders show when I try to say a big word and it doesn't fit there. So here's an image. So Daniel, I know Daniel wasn't going to bow to this. You guys are all out in the world right now. What are we bowing to? And I'm not even looking at you guys. I hope when I hear you guys hear me talking, it's me. I'm learning right with you. I have honestly said, I don't think I've walked by the Spirit. The Spirit has shown me the living Word of God. He's shown me the truth. The Spirit of truth. I want to live it all the time. I want that to change. But you know what it's going to be? It's praying. And they ain't praying little quiet things. That sounds like a perfect prayer. It don't have to be a perfect prayer. Sometimes it's just, Lord, you've done it again. You've taught me. He knows you guys so much. Trust in him. So I'm going to read you Daniel 3:16 through 30. And these are Daniel's friends. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods, little g, or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was furious with them, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace to be heated up 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie them up, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, I'm going to skip that one, turbans and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and fell into the furnace and firmly fell into the furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego came out of the fire. Perfect. Governors and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorned, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angels and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who said anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, thrown, and their houses be torn into piles of rubble, for no God can save in this way. Then he promoted the three. The challenge for me was, would you tell this story like it's a real life adventure? I remember a girl telling her class about Jonah going in the whale, you know, and the laugh, you know, the whole thing, the whole class laughing and not believing. Same thing here. The challenge is, this is a key how we walk with Christ. I believe this is the living, breathing Word of God. People around me, even in my family, say, well, it was written by men, so they're scorning it. Like, I said, it was written by 40 people. 40. I could tell a story right now to one person, and they won't even get it right to the fifth person. I challenge you to read and see how close the Bible is. Daily Bread talked about it this way too. It said, rescue villains. And it talked about how the comic books lately have raised over $4 billion in sales. Maybe in part because such stories resemble God's big story in the living Word. In Daniel, there's hero, a villain, a people in need of rescue, and plenty of riveting action in the Word of God. And it's amazing, just, it's amazing when you see people downstairs get dressed up and they tell a story to the kids. They put a robe on. We've seen Josh. We've seen everybody downstairs, Judy. Everybody, they dress up, they do things and tell that story. I mean, to me, it just tickles my heart to see that again, a heart like a child. They were rescued from that blazing furnace. There's another thing that goes on in my life. Lately, I feel like I've been in a furnace. And I know you people in here have been in a furnace. We have things in our lives that just don't make sense. Things in our life we can't control. But we gotta be faithful. We gotta trust God. We gotta walk with God. On Friday, we got some news from AJ, and the doctor really laid out that the next 12 months are gonna be hell. Boy, it's amazing. Not too many people want to talk about Christ and the Bible and everything, but the next 12 months will be hell. That's my fire. I loved to take that form. That's my kid. But there was somebody that took it for all of us. Everything we've done on the cross, not only for me, but for you. And if you were the only last person on the earth, he'd still do it all over again. That's what kind of God we have. Let's go to prayer. Oh, Lord, as we come before you, and you even challenge us as we, I put up a video of a prayer. Lord, there's so many things in our lives we don't understand. There's so many people I can look out and even in our congregation and know they're facing things that are so hard and so trying. Lord, help us to unite together. Help us to share each other's burdens like we already have, but even go further, Lord. Lord, there's so many here that might need to know you right now, and today's the day to do that. Just by asking the Heavenly Father, just by thanking Him, for not giving us what we deserve. Thank you for letting Jesus pay that penalty. Thank you, Lord, for even letting us know how we are sinners. We have fallen short of you so many times. I thank you today that Jesus has paid for my sins. He's paid for all our sins. He's died on the cross. And I put my trust in him, just like you can right now if you haven't done that ever. And accept his forgiveness. Jesus, we ask that you come into our hearts. We ask you to please forgive our sins. We ask you to give us life everlasting. Father, thank you for loving each of us enough to have your Son pay for that debt. Lord, I pray for anybody right now that is with us. I don't know their hearts, but you, oh Father, as we've even looked, do know their hearts. You know everyone's hearts. You search it. You long for us to come to you, Lord. Challenge us even today to seek you and grow closer to you every day. You know everyone's need. We lift up prayers for anyone who has even trusted you right now, Lord. Let them know how much you love them, and that Jesus is just knocking to come and live in their hearts, and let them be born of the true Spirit. You, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.